Welcome to the Traveling Teams Media Ministry. To find out more, visit www.thetravelingteam.org.
Well, it's good to be with you. Let me see if I can figure out how to put this here, and we'll be in good shape. Why don't we take a minute and let's pray. Father, we really desire to hear from you tonight, and Father, we know that if we don't, that our time together may be fun in fellowship, and it may be somewhat beneficial socially. But God, we've really missed out on a great opportunity if we don't hear from you. So we pray that you would open up our ears and open up our eyes, open up our hearts, that we can really have a clear understanding of the things that you want to say tonight, and we would really be listening and ready to obey. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was thinking, as I was listening to some of the worship and stuff, there was a time in the late 1800s where there was a stagecoach that was kind of rolling along through the West and was coming along, and there were three people on board. There was one woman that was an older woman, and she was there, and she was just kind of sitting over there knitting some things, and there was another younger gal that was sitting there across the way from her, and next, straight in front of this woman and kind of leaning against the door, there was this guy that was older, drunk, just kind of slobbering and passed out there on the thing. And so they were kind of rolling along, and this one younger gal, she began to hum that hymn that we sang just a little while back, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." She began to hum that and stuff, and they were going along for a while, and finally, this man, you know, he kind of woke up from his drunken stupor, and he looks over at her and he says, "Woman, will you stop humming that accursed tune?" And this older woman looks at him. She said, "Well, what's the problem, sir?" She goes, "Does that remind you of childhood something?" She said, is that something? Did you used to be in church?" He said, is that what does that for you, sir?" He goes, "Church, woman, younger, woman, I wrote that tune." And he did, because there's a verse in there that says, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." And I think within each one of us, there's that proning to wonder. There's that proning to kind of get off track and go do our thing, go do something else. And so what I want to talk to you a little bit about tonight is some things that will hopefully modify that for you and kind of help you to stay on track and help you to work through some things. I was talking with a guy on our campus. I work at the University of Southern California, by the way. So if you're ever over there, you know, come look me up. But I work over there with a group called Christian Challenge. As Billy was saying, we've been there about 22 years. We start our 22nd year this next year. We just finished year 21. And we started the ministry there back in January of 88, and so we've been there for a while, and it is good. So I was telling this one guy, he's on the football team, and we've been meeting together for several months and trying to get him established in his walk with God and really help him learn how to begin to reach out to some of his teammates, etc. And so as we're there, at one point I asked him, I said, "You know, what are some of the things that you feel like, you know, you want to be true of your life at the end of your life?" And so he began to think through it, and you know, he gave me some answers, and actually they were pretty good answers. I said, "Well, that's great." I said, "How you doing on that so far?" And he goes, "Yeah, not so good." I said, So we kind of said it for a minute. He goes, "You know, it's really hard to begin a whole new life in the midst of a life you're already living." He said, "How do you do that? Any of you ever thought that? It's kind of hard to just kind of get this whole Christian thing cranking up right in the middle of everything else that you're doing." Or if you haven't thought that, maybe I guarantee you somebody you're working with has. Because as I'm talking with students all the time, they're always like, "How do you do that?" You know, because they try to figure out, you know, is this like a blended thing or something like that? You know, is that how we do it? Because one of the things our staff, which many of our staff are from California, they had a rude awakening. We took a trip back to Oklahoma here a few years ago. Now, getting on and off of freeways in Oklahoma is a liberal arts education if you've grown up in California, you know, and so these guys are used to pulling on freeways here. Now, when you pull on the freeway here, do you know what the sign says? merge. Just merge. That's what people do. I mean, they come on full force. You know, they just exit ramps. I mean, those are launching pads. You know, so people just boom, you know, and they're on there, and you just merge, and everyone expects that. They expected the same thing in Oklahoma. Just about got taken out by a semi. You know, they pulled onto there, and they, you know, all of a sudden this semi just about plows, and they're going, what is his problem? I said, no. You didn't look at the sign. The sign there says yield. And they're like, oh, new information. And I thought, yes, new information. You know, I think a lot of times when we begin to live the Christian life, we kind of think, you know, it's kind of this merge thing, isn't it? We just kind of take our values, we kind of take our thoughts, we kind of take our plans, and then what God does is he just kind of lets merge. No. The sign is yield. And so when you get on, you start walking with God, you start trying to figure out, how am I going to do this thing? The very first thing you need to remember is, you know what? I need to kind of check my plans at the door, and I need to figure out what his plans are, because those are the ones we're going to go with. Anytime your plans differ from God, he's never lost. So go ahead and, you know, get ready. But, you know, as I was talking with this guy, I talked to him, I said, you know, he said, how in the world do you do that? How do you blend that in? I said, man, that's a great question. I think I have a great answer for you. And I thought, I hope I do. I really don't know. I mean, I shouldn't have said that. But so I was praying real quickly. And as I did, the verses that came to mind were in Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, let me encourage you. Turn to the Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 1 right there. If you don't have a Bible with you, don't worry about it. This is your chance to look on with that person next to you that you've been wanting to do all along. So beginning in verse 1, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ. Actually, the sense of this sentence in Greek is actually since then. But since then you have been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave man and freeman. But Christ is all and in all. And so, as those who have been chosen by God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also you should forgive. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now look back up there in verse 8 for just a minute, where he says, put them all aside. Circle that right there. Put them all aside. It's okay to write in your Bible. You won't get in trouble for this, honestly. It's okay. So right there, circle, put them all aside. Then drop down to verse 9. Now, if you have the NIV, I think it says taken off. But if it says taken off, circle that. If it says you have like the NASB or something, circle. If it says laid aside, circle that right there. And then in verse 10, put on, circle that. And then down in verse 12, again, put on. If you have the NIV, it will say clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves. So circle that. Clothe yourselves. And then in verse 14, put on. Again, it should be that in both translations. Put on. So as I was talking with this guy, I said, now, let me ask you a question. We read those verses, and I said, let me ask you a question. When you are getting a new wardrobe. Let's say you're looking at your clothes and you're thinking, these are ratty, they are out of style, you know. You know, he grew up in another state that's just to the east of Oklahoma. And so I was telling him, I said, you know, now you came out to California, things are a little different, you know, things are kind of changed. And so, you know, let's say you wanted to change your whole wardrobe and you wanted to do something like that. I said, now, if you did that, I said, you know, how would you do that? Do you just like take all your stuff and just get rid of it and then you just walk out and buy everything? He goes, no. I said, why not? He goes, well, one thing, I can't afford it. I said, well, that's true. He said, plus that, you buy some ratty stuff. I said, yeah, that's true. He said, no, you just a piece at a time. I said, really? Yeah. I said, that's how you do that? Yeah. Just a piece at a time. Yeah. What happens over time? Well, you change out your wardrobe. I said, you know what? That's exactly what these verses are talking about. This is how you begin to change. This is how you really stay walking with God. This is how you really stay focused. This is how you change over time. Paul says here, there are things that you put off and there are things that you put on. He said, it's just like changing out a wardrobe. He says, like you have a wardrobe that is just out of style or it's just worn out, it's just not good. He said, you take these things off, you put these other things on. And you begin to do that. Now, do you do that all at once? No. It takes some time. You know, you make a selection here, you make a selection there, you begin to go through. And over time, little by little, you begin to change things out. And then as I spoke to him, I said, you know, let me give you an example. He goes, okay. I said, you know, this morning in my time with God, I was reading in Acts, and I'd been reading in Acts 23 that day. And I said, now this kind of stuck with me because I just had a conversation with a couple of guys from church about, you know, 3 days earlier. And one of them was talking about our current administration and wasn't sure we were going in a real good direction on some things. And so he was kind of, you know, and I was kind of like, yeah, I understand, you know. And I was listening to this, and my natural inclination when some of these things were brought up would be to join right in and go, well, you know what, that's right. Good night. What is he thinking about this or that? But then I read Acts 23:5. And what's, to give you a little bit of the background on that, what's happened at that point is this. Paul has been brought before the high priest, and he starts saying some things, and he's sharing part of his testimony, and the high priest says, slap him. And so this guard, whack, slaps Paul. And Paul then turns around and says, you sorry individual, and begins to explain to this guy, how dare you have me slapped? I mean, do you not know what you're doing? And all of a sudden, this guy that's next to him that's a guard says, do you not know who you're addressing? You are talking to the high priest. And Paul says, I'm sorry. I apologize. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. And I thought, I thought, is it really written like that? And I looked at that again, and then it referenced some verse over in Exodus, so I looked it up, and I thought, good night. It does say it. It doesn't just say it once, it says it twice. It says it over here in Acts, and it says it back there in Exodus. I thought, you're not to speak evil of a ruler of your people? And God said, I believe that would be you. And I thought, yeah, that would be me. He said, and the ruler of your people would be like the current administration. And I thought, yes, it would. I thought, all of them? All of them, yeah, rulers of your people. Okay. So all of a sudden, God confronted me with something I needed to put off. And I thought, you know, well, if I'm supposed to put that off, well, what should I put on? I mean, honestly, God, this fits pretty well. And not only that, but this current administration, I could have a heyday. I thought, you know, we could really, but he said, no, we take this off. I thought, okay, what do I put on? Well, a verse that came to my mind was a verse I didn't even have memorized, but I'd read it before. It was in 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, where I can give you the basic gist of it, but I'll have to memorize it still because I'm working on it. But he says, now we urge that petitions and that entreaties and petitions and prayers and thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings and for those in authority, so that you may live a tranquil and peaceful life or something like that. And so I'm sitting there reading, I thought, oh, I'm to be praying for them, not complaining about them. And so I thought, well, how am I going to remember to take this off and put this on? And so I'm talking to this guy. I said, so I decided, every time I hear somebody start to talk about the president and say something in a negative fashion, I'm going to use that as a prompt for me to remember 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, and to begin to pray for him. And he goes, you're going to get a lot of practice. I said, probably so. And so one of the things that's happened is, you know, he's really right. I mean, the last I was surprised that I haven't gotten as much practice as I had thought. I think part of the reason I haven't is because I don't think the enemy is really keen for us praying for leaders. So he's kind of kept some of the complainers at bay around me. But I mean, still several of them have shown up. You know, when they have, I thought, oh, I need to be praying. I need to be praying. You see, there are things you're going to find throughout your life, your entire life, that you need to take some of these things, put them off, and you take some other things and put them on. And what I'd like to talk to you a little bit, how do you get started in that? How do you get started in really, you know, putting things off and putting things on? I think there's three problems that you kind of face when you get started. One is, if you're like me, you know, sometimes you begin to realize the first thing, you know, you need to put something off. But if you're not careful, that's where you stop. That's the first problem. Sometimes people just put things off and then they don't put something on. Like when I first came to Christ, I came to Christ at the end of my high school years. And I'd been an athlete. You'll have to take that by faith. And so I was there and I was hanging with these guys. And the guys that I was hanging with, you know, they were colorful. And so one of the things that happened is that when I came to Christ, I'd lost about 40% of my vocabulary. And I would find myself trying to express myself, and I'd say, that's good that they could, you know, and I would just try to say things, and people would say, what is the deal? You don't talk. I don't know. And I mean, I just thought, I can't be saying those things. But see, all I knew for a while was, well, you don't say these things. But I had no idea about the type of things that I should be putting on, the type of things I should be saying. So then as I began to walk with God over time and I began to learn how to do that in college, I began to learn some things like, you know, Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh word stirs up anger. And I began to think, oh, so when I speak, I need to speak softly. Or Proverbs 15:2 says, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. So used to, I would just say things, and if somebody, you know, didn't hear it, I'd think, that's the truth. If they don't hear it, that's their problem. No, actually, it's my problem. Because the tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable. So I need to figure out how to say that. Or like Ephesians 4:25, where he says, you know, do not lie to one another, but you instead are to speak truth to one another, for you are all members of one body. And so I was thinking, okay. Not only do I need to not cuss, but I need to stop lying and start telling the truth. There's a novel thought, you know, and I started thinking about this, or you come up, you know, Hebrews 3:13, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you are hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I thought, So what, one of the mistakes you don't want to make is this. You don't want to just put off some things, because if you do, what will end up happening in your life is your Christian life will begin to be defined by what you don't do. You know, I don't do this, I don't do that, I don't do this, you know. No. See, you want a life that is defined by what you do. And so you want to figure out not only what do you put off, but then figure out what you put on. That's one of the problems. Second problem that I found a lot of times is kind of, I guess you would say, layering. Have you ever been, well, many of you have, we have folks here from Oklahoma. Where are the folks from Oklahoma? All right. Oh, several. All right. I have three sons in Oklahoma. I was just visiting them this weekend. They decided to go back and go to the University of, and so Sooners. I see it right there. Yep, Boomer Sooner. Yep. Sooner born, Sooner bred. When I die, I'm Sooner dead. So yeah, okay, all that stuff. But now in Oklahoma in winter, it's a good idea to layer. You know, like 15, 20 layers. You know, that's a good idea. That way you just feel somewhat warm when the wind blows through you. But in the Christian life, layering's not a good idea. Layering's kind of like the word we looked at a minute ago, merging. That's not a good idea. You know, if you can have the thought in your mind, can you imagine, you know, you go to the gym and you're over there and you're working out and you get yourself all rank and sweaty and horrible, and then you think, I've got a date. I've got to get back. So you go back and you leave your stuff on as it's just dripping on your floor right there, and you just put on something nice over that. And you think, they're going to be lucky to see me tonight. And you head on out on that date, and the people are going, whoa, yeah, this was more than I was expecting. And, and they're just kind of, you know, if you're a girl and a guy does that, you're kind of like thinking, hey, maybe you could kind of hang with the guys tonight, and I could kind of make it a girl night or something, you know, or if you're a girl and you do it, shame on you. You know? And so, you know, but you look at that, and, you know, you wouldn't ever do that with your clothes. You would think, oh, no. I mean, even if I'm late, which, I mean, if you're a girl, well, yeah. But I mean, even if you're late, you know, you think to yourself, you know what? I've got to do what's right here. I mean, I got to take this nasty stuff off and put the good stuff on. It's the same way in your walk with God. You know, there's so many attitudes and so many perspectives and so many things that Paul brings up right there in that passage. He says, you know what? These are just like sweaty, ugly, smelly garments to God. And you need to take them off and get rid of them. The anger, the malice, the rage, you know, the lack of forgiveness. He said, you know, you just take those and you get rid of those and you put on kindness and you put on compassion. You put on love. He said, those are the things you put on. Those are the things that smell good, look good. They're fashionable. You know, he said, you want to put those on. The other things, get rid of. I was talking with a gal here just a while back. She's wife of a pastor in Orange County, and she was telling me her husband had really gone through some rough things with the church situation. And they're in this fairly large church, and so, you know, she was telling me, she said, you know, I find it really hard to forgive these people. And I said, really? And she goes, well, not that I haven't. I mean, I've forgiven them. But, I mean, I just don't want to hang out with them or anything. And I said, huh. And so we're kind of sitting there, and she goes, so a little bit of time had passed. We'd gone and done some other things. And she comes back, and she goes, can I ask you a question? And I said, what's that? She goes, you know, when we were talking earlier about this whole thing, she said, it seemed like maybe you didn't agree with what I said. And I said, really? She goes, I said, well, what part did I not agree with? She said, well, kind of like not wanting to hang out. I said, no, I said, I'll tell you what, I'm struggling with this. You know, when the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. And he says, okay. So then he teaches them what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. I said, now, do you remember that one part right there when he says, forgive us our sins as, she goes, we forgive those who have sinned against us. I said, yeah. I said, now, so I was just thinking in my mind a minute ago, I was wondering, is the way you want God to relate to you of, you know, I've forgiven you back, but I don't want to hang out with you anymore. Just stay away. I'm through. But I have forgiven you. Don't worry, I've forgiven. Now. And he just kind of marches off. He says, is that how you want him to relate to you? She goes, no. I was just curious about that. And so we kind of went on, had chat. I get a little letter from her later on. She said, you know, I'm beginning to realize, wow, I had kind of just taken some of my cultural views of forgiveness and tried to blend those in with what God thought. And I think I need to relook at this from God's perspective. And I thought, you know, most of the time we do. We have these ideas sometimes, you know, that we have in our minds, and we just kind of layer things. And God says, no, 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 no. Put off and put on. Two totally separate things. And that's a problem. You don't want to do that. You know, the third problem that you'll face sometimes when you're trying to figure out about putting off and putting on is some things are just so comfortable. Have you noticed? Do you ever have some of those things? I mean, my wife the other day, she came in, and my son, my youngest son, that's going to be a junior at the University of Oklahoma, he was home, And so he was walking around, and we were getting ready to go out and play some ball or something. He had on these ratty shoes, and she said, "Why do you have shoes that don't have holes in them? Why are you wearing them?" He goes, "These are just so comfortable." And she was like, "That is crazy." And I said, "You know, son, I think your mom's got a point here." And she goes, "And you?" And I said, "And me." You know, and she said, "Why are you wearing that shirt?" I thought, "Well, he's right. This is comfortable, and I like this." You know, and she was like, "No, you both need to get rid of those things." And we're kind of going, "Let's go play ball." And so we went outside, you know, and we thought, and he's like, "Why is mom like that?" And I said, "Because she's probably right." And so we're out there playing, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? There are attitudes that we have sometimes. There are perspectives we have. There are habits we have that they're so comfortable, we really have a hard time changing. But what you need to understand is this. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined that they would be conformed to the image of his son." So when the pain of not changing exceeds the pain of changing, you will change. And so if you just go ahead and change earlier on, you don't have to deal with all that pain. You know, you can just go ahead and say, "Hey, you know what, God, you want me to put that on? I'll put that on. I'll take this off first," you know, and just go ahead and swap that thing out. Begin to make a change, and that'll make a huge difference in the way you approach things and in your perspective on it. But that's part of the problem. How do you begin to do that? First thing I'd encourage you to do, get some help. Get some help. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." So one of the things I would do, in fact, this is one of the things I try to make a practice in my life, is I have some folks around my life, and I'll just tell them, you know, "Hey, if you see things as you're, you know, as you are walking with God yourself, and as you're going through scripture or something like that, if you run onto something and God brings me to your mind, like, boy, his attitude on that doesn't seem to line up with that, or his perspective, would you be willing to let me know? I promise I'm not going to go postal on you or anything, you know, and act crazy, you know. If you'll just come and tell me, I would really want to know that." And I've got some friends who have very faithfully done that over the years. They'll come in, they'll say, "Hey, you know what? You might want to check this attitude out a little bit." And they're very kind about the way they do it. Usually, you know, they just say it and run. But they don't. But they're just, you know, they're very kind about it. But I would encourage you, invite people to do that in your life. Now, most of the time, we don't really do that, do we? I mean, most of the time, when someone comes up to you and brings up something that you may need to work on, what's your general response? That wasn't rhetorical, in case you were wondering. You know, that was, yeah, accept it. I like Billy. Yes. Except that's me. I mean, my wife walks up and says, "I want to tell you something." I usually say, "Let me pull up a chair that you may explain this to me more fully." And I just usually pull up and sit down and say, "I'm ready. Go ahead." No, I don't. You know what I usually do? I usually, "No, I'm not. I don't do that." I start talking a mile a minute, you know, and I start figuring out a way to weasel out of this thing. And if talking doesn't work, what do? We get angry, don't we? We blow up. "Well, what do you mean? Have you looked at you lately?" And they're like, "Oh." And they kind of back up. Now, why do we do that? Well, because usually we know if we can't weasel out of it, if we get mad enough, they'll just back off, you know. James has something to say about that in James 1:19. He says, but everyone, he's talking about when you're getting correction, he says, but everyone needs to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. I think, oh, that just goes right against my natural inclination. I have these habits that I've worked on for years. And God says, yes, we're changing those. I think, bummer. You want to merge? No. Oh, take off, put on. I think, okay. So, you know, one of the things I'd encourage you, ask some people for some input. The other thing I would encourage you, look into the mirror of God's Word. Look into the mirror of God's Word. Nothing is going to change. You know, I have walked with God to the best of my ability now for the last 36 years. And what I found is this. If there was one habit over 36 years that I would not trade for anything, it would be daily time with God. Because you know what? It's in that daily time with God that what he does is he begins to just take the mirror of his word and kind of hold it up in front and allow me to see the things that are going on inside of my heart and allow me to see the things that are going on inside of my mind. And then I can also see clearly right there in that mirror exactly how Jesus would want things done and how he would have it lived out. And so I can kind of compare and contrast and go, bummer, I got some things to work on. You know, mirrors are interesting things. I don't know for you, but like growing up, we have four children and one daughter, three sons, and they love to hang out together. They love to do things, you know, and they always have, you know, these little adventures together and stuff. And so we used to sit there. Our youngest, who's a large lad now, he's about 6'7". But when he was young and little, one of his favorite foods is spaghetti. I mean, and, you know, he would kind of wear it. He would just get in there and just go for it, you know. And, boy, I mean, he'd have spaghetti all over him, spaghetti sauce all over him, you know. And so every once in a while, my wife would say something to him like he'd be eating, you know, with his face kind of down here. And she'd say, Samuel. And he's like, yes. And she'd say, you know, you kind of got this spaghetti. Really? So then he'd go over and he'd get a mirror. And he'd go, whoa. And he'd come back. He'd say, Micah, look. And Jeremy, check this out. Jen, I got a mustache. You know, and they're kind of like, that's good, Samuel. Wipe your mouth off. And he's like, no, it's cool. Now, for Samuel just, he thought that was the funnest thing. Now, Melinda's very different, my wife, or Jen, even our daughter. You know, if I say to them, girls know how to use mirrors more than guys. I think that's why they look better. But, you know, they use those mirrors. Now, if I say to one of them, hey, you know, you got spaghetti sauce, they don't go, oh, cool, Jen, look. You know, Mike, no. I mean, for Melinda, it's, wait, put it away. Why? For Samuel, the word of God, or a mirror in this case, the mirror is a point of entertainment. You know, for Melinda, the mirror is a point of action. You know, the problem too often with Christians is as they look into the mirror of God's word, it's a point of entertainment. It's not a point of action. They look into it and they go, look at that verse. That is a great, oh, I love that verse. That is the best verse I've ever. That verse is rad. I love that verse right there. That's a great verse. I'm going to put that on my wall. You know, well, that's wonderful. Now, are you going to do anything with it? No. But I'll tell you what, I love that verse. See, it's just a point of entertainment. The way you know when the Word of God becomes a point of action is you open the mirror of God's Word, and as it shows you the blemishes in your soul, you say, God, help me to change that now. Help me to take that off and put that on. Help me to change now. And you immediately begin to address those things. So, problems you want to avoid. We talked about those. What are the problems you want to avoid as you begin to think about it? Now, test time. Oh my gosh, you didn't tell me there was going to be a test. All right, what are things you want to avoid?
Don't change your wardrobe all at once.
Yeah, don't try to change your wardrobe all at once. You know, it's going to take some time. You know, you got to just piece by piece. You want to begin to work on that. What else? Yeah, you want to take some things off and put some things on. You don't want to be layering. Layering is not a good idea, you know, not a good idea. What else? Yeah, you don't want to just take things off and be running around, you know, as this naked believer. No, you want to actually put some things on, you know, so you want to, you know, don't be just negative there, but put some things on. What else? Yeah, don't get too comfortable with just the things of the world. You don't want to do that. Now, the way you begin to start on that, you know, you want to avoid those three problems, but there's two things you can do right there. What are the two things you can do? Begin to get some help. Begin to ask my, you know, let me tell you what. These right here, your time here this summer, is going to be one of the most wonderful times of growth. Or it's going to be one of the most miserable times as you try to posture in front of people for the next 8 weeks. Because, you know, I mean, anybody can be pretty good for a little bit. But over time, oh my soul, you know. And all of a sudden, you'll say something someday and somebody goes, I didn't know you thought like that. And you go, How do I make them think? You know, you got to try to figure out, how do I switch this? You know, anybody know Romans 12, 1 and 2? If not, let's put that on our list. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We need to memorize that. What does it say? Now, out of this group, I know there's someone that has it. That's verse 1. Verse 2 is? Say it again. Yeah. Do not conform, but be transformed. Now, the words there are interesting. The word conform, they used to have these plays all the time back in the day. And at the time this was written, and when they had these plays, they didn't have girls in the plays, they just had guys, and they had to play all these different roles because they didn't have that many, you know, actor types. And so what they'd have to do is a guy would play this role and he'd hold up this mask, and then he'd have to play another role, so he'd put that down and he'd hold up this mask, and then he'd have to play something else and he'd put that down and he'd hold up this mask. And the word comes from that. He says, don't play the part. Don't be conformed. Don't just play this part, but instead, be transformed. And that word is a word in Greek which the New Testament was written in. It's metamorphi, which we get our word what from? Metamorphosis, yeah. It to be changed from the inside out. And he says, you know what? Don't just play the part. Really be changed from the inside out. Now, men and women, what I would propose to you is this. You've got a great opportunity this summer to begin to do that right now. You've got a great opportunity to take all of the costumes, put them over in the trunk, and leave them for Goodwill, and begin to put on the things that God wants you to put on. And as you do that, one of the best ways that you're going to learn to do that is to find some of these guys and gals around here. Now, if you're a guy, find a guy. And if you're a gal, same. But, you know, begin to find some of them and get some time and have them, as you really allow them to get to know you and you kind of take down the barriers to that, allow them to speak into your life. And it will help you, you know. Get around the staff. Allow the staff to get to know you. Because you know what? They've walked with God longer than you have. You may actually learn something. This could be an encouragement. So get around them and begin to ask questions. You know, do you see things in me that I need to work on? Because I want to do that. And then you don't have to stop it at the end of the summer. You can actually do this when you go back home. You know, and this, because, believe it or not, you will not be a completed product by the end of the summer. I know that's news. But, you know, so that's one thing you can do. You can ask other people. What is the other thing you can do? We just talked about this. That's right. Get into God's Word. That's why, see, the front row, they were paying attention. All right. You get into God's Word. Begin to allow God to speak to you through His Word. Now, one of the things I would encourage you there, guys, many times what I see with college students is God is able to speak to them out of maybe two or three books. Usually Genesis and Matthew, and maybe Ephesians. They have started Genesis many times, and then they kind of wandered, and then they jumped into Matthew, and they know Matthew inside and out, at least the first four or five chapters, and, you know, they know that, and then they have some other book. Maybe it's Ephesians, maybe it's Psalms, maybe it's something else. And so, boy, if God just wants to speak to them through one of those three books, you know, and the genealogies, he'll be able to do that, you know. But, I mean, if he has something he wants to say to them out of Habakkuk, I'm sorry, God, but that will not happen in this lifetime. Well, it needs to. So what I would encourage you, get a plan whereby you can begin to go through the Scriptures. Because it may be that God wants to speak to you out of something like Zephaniah, you know, and you're kind of going, really? Does God speak out of Zephaniah? Well, sometimes. I mean, you know, he does. And so, you know, if you were Zephaniah, he definitely did. But, I mean, think about this. You know, he may want to say something to you. So have a plan, but get into the Word of God every day. In fact, if you did nothing else this summer but developed the habit of really meeting with God every single day. And I'm not talking about meeting with a habit. I know a lot of people that meet with a habit, where they get up, yes, check, quiet time, done. You know, I did it, I sat down, I came, I saw, I was not changed. So I think, no. I'm talking about actually meeting with the creator of the universe and allowing him to really hold the mirror of his word before you. If you did nothing else this summer, but just develop the practice of every day doing that, your life would be radically transformed. Radically transformed. You would begin to find that it's actually being transformed from the inside out. That those habits begin to drop off, those perspectives begin to shift. You know, things begin to become very different. So I would encourage you, look at those things. Now, a couple of things to be aware of there, One, be patient with yourself, okay? This is going to take time. This is not going to happen this summer. It's definitely not going to happen this week. Well, unless you get raptured on out of here or something. I don't think it's going to happen. But, otherwise, you're pretty safe to assume it's not going to happen this week. It's going to go the rest of your life. As long as you are here on this earth, you're going to have things to change. One day, one of the very first verses I memorized was over in Psalm 1, where it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree that is planted, firmly planted by rivers of living water, that brings forth its fruit in season. His leaves also shall not wither, whatsoever he does shall prosper. And I remember as I was memorizing that, I was kind of meditating on that one day and kind of thinking about that as I was working, and I thought, a tree? Why a tree? Why didn't God say, you're going to be like, this, stallion, or you're going to be like this, or why a tree? What are you? I'm a tree. You ever seen those kids that have to play those things in plays? Why a tree? Well, you know what? There's a real good reason. If you cut a tree right across there, what is it you see inside? Rings, yeah. Every year that a tree is alive, it continues to grow. Every single year. And you know what? That's exactly why God calls you a tree. As long as you are walking with him and breathing, he intends for you to be growing. Now, some of the rings may be smaller. Some of them may be larger. Hopefully this year in your life, it'll be a larger ring. God kind of goes, hey, you got a few changes in there this year. This is good. There's probably been a few years that you just have to look real close. There is a ring. I see it. What I would encourage you need to be growing. So be patient with yourself. Don't get yourself in a tizzy, because it's going to be okay. God is very patient with you if you look at his testimony of himself. So that's one of the things I would encourage you. Another thing that I would encourage you as you begin to think about that, you will discover that your new wardrobe that God has for you, it's one of those things, it never gets out of season. It's never one of those things like, when is the last time you saw a person that was really kind and you thought, oh, that is so out of place. Kind. Or when is the last time you encountered someone and they were really wise, or they were really forgiving, and you thought, that is so last season. Oh my gosh, I remember when I was wise. No, you don't. In fact, you don't trust me. Well, anyway, you don't. And so, no. See, one of the things to remember, these clothes that God wants you to put on, they never go out of style. In fact, they're appropriate in any group you will ever be a part of. They're appropriate in your family. They're appropriate on the job. They're appropriate wherever you are. You need to take and put these things on. And then the third thing I would encourage you there, be quick to change out the wardrobe as God shows you things. What you don't want to do is you don't want to assume upon the patience of God. God is patient, but you don't want to push him. See, sometimes I think we have the idea, honestly, if God dealt with us today like he dealt with, Ananias in the first century there in the book of Acts, like you sinned, boom, you're dead. you know, well, I wouldn't be speaking to anyone tonight. Actually, I wouldn't be here either, so it wouldn't matter. But I mean, you know, none of us would be here. But I mean, if that happened in our day, you know, well, I mean, people would snap too. But sometimes we assume that the patience of God is permission. It's not. It's patience. And so, you know what? He will not always be patient. When he shows you something in your life, and he says, this is something that needs to change, you need to change it now. You need to get after it and get to working on it. So you change your life just like you change your wardrobe. One piece at a time, one choice at a time, one decision at a time. If you're helping somebody else, that's exactly the way you do it with them. You help them to make one decision at a time, one choice at a time, and over and over and over, you'll begin to see change take place. Jesus is speaking in Mark 7. And one of the things he says there, he's speaking to the group, the Pharisees. They were very religious people at the time. And he talks to them and he comes up and he says, you know, you are those who love to stand before men. You love to show off how godly you are and stuff. But God knows your hearts. He said, rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you. These people love me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And he says, in vain do you worship me. And as he begins to talk to them there, one of the things he says is, he says, you know, he refers to Isaiah. He said, having eyes to see, they do not see. Having ears to hear, they do not hear. Now, men and women, what I would tell you is this. Every single day, you're going to be going through experiences. I think that Scott probably spoke to some of that last week. He talked about how you learn a lot of times through experiences, and that's true. You know, you're going to be going through experiences every single day. And as you go through an experience, we'll just take this by faith here. I can write here. I told him I didn't need this, but I lied. As you go through an experience, what you'll find is this. You have this experience. You've only had probably, you know, several hundred of them today. And every day you get a choice. You can choose to respond the way the Word of God says, or you can choose a natural response. It's a miracle. This is great. You can choose the way the Word of God says, or you can choose a natural response. Just, you know, kind of the normal way you go about life. What you'll find is this. Every time you choose the natural response, you get a little bit more dull of hearing and a little bit more dim of seeing the things of God. But every time you choose a response in line with the Word, your eyesight gets a little more keen. Your ears hear a little bit better. And so if you really want to hear the voice of God, if you really want to understand Him and understand His heart for you and His will for your life, then it's a very simple thing. As you go through things, you respond to the Word. You put the Word into practice. You begin to live it out. You begin to allow the Word of God to be authoritative for you. Does that make sense? Good. Well, why don't we do this? Why don't we pray real quick? And then if you have questions, I would be tickled spitless to see if I have an answer. So let's pray. Father, thank you that you are far more interested in us knowing you and in us knowing your will than we are. God, your intent on showing it to us is just so often we walk around with blinders on, and often because of choices we've made. God, we understand from your word that a hardened heart is really a self-inflicted wound. And God, we don't want to have that. We want to really respond to you and respond to your word out of ready obedience. And God, you've promised in John 14:21 that as we hear your word, as we respond to you in simple obedience, that you will show yourself to us in new ways, in more clear ways. And so, God, my prayer for each one of these men and women is that they would follow you more fully, that they could really see you more clearly. And so we pray those things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Any questions that you may have out of anything we've looked at tonight? If you have other questions, I have no idea if I would know anything. So I might know something about this. If not, I'm good. I mean, you don't have to have any questions. I'm just wondering. So, yes? Sure. Yeah, I'll tell you what. One of the things that I did was I have never had an original thought in my life. Okay, you know, I mean, honestly, but I try to steal from the best. And so one of the things I do, you know, is I just try to figure, okay, what's working here for somebody else, and work that. Now, I have gone through a plethora of Bible reading plans, you know, like where you read through the Bible in a year, or you read through the Bible four times in a year, or you read through, you know, this book and that book. And I mean, I've done all those, and you know, sometimes, I mean, by the way, you know, not that you can't read through the Bible four times in a year, you can do that, I've done that, but let me tell you something. It feels like when you get through, you're kind of like, I made it, you know, what do you remember from it? Nothing. But I made it. You know, I mean, honestly, I'm not really sure how that helped a lot. You know, now it is a good idea to just sit down and read chunks of scripture at one sitting. In fact, I would encourage you to do that. You know, but what I would encourage you as far as quiet time, what I did was, one of the guys that was with the traveling team, the guy Brian Zuniga, had developed a plan for some of his students to go through, at least he developed the first sixth of it, for his students to go through the Bible over 2 years. And so I thought, great idea. 2 years is not that fast. But you know what? Most of you, if I ask you, and you're honest, and I said, now, over the last 2 years, have you just shot right on through the scriptures? You'd kind of go, well, most of them. I mean, you know, Genesis, Matthew, Psalms. You know, I mean, you know, most of them. But I mean, you know, but the other, you know, 50-something books. But, it, you know, if you just come up with a 2-year plan, so that's what I did. And I set that out for our students. Now, one of the benefits of that is this. As we've laid out a plan for them, and a lot of them have said, oh, that's cool, thanks, I want to buy that, and they kind of bought into the thing and bought it. Now, as we're around each other on campus, like I'll say, hey, did you read that over there in 2 Chronicles? Yeah, what did they mean by such and such? And boy, it's a great conversation piece where you can begin to talk with other people. So I would set up a plan where you're reading every day. You know, one of the things I'd also try to do, how I've set it up right now, we read Monday through Saturday, and Sunday is a day of reflection. So Sunday, you look back over everything that you've read Monday through Saturday and kind of what has God taught me out of this. So that's how we do that. And then I would always encourage you to be reading from two different books at the same time, two different books in the Bible, but two different books at the same time, because one of the hardest things that people get past is they finish a book and they're like, I'm not sure where to read next. And just overcoming initial inertia, it may be a 3-day gap. I don't know what to do for 3 days because I finished, you know, and you're like, but if you're reading from two books, rarely will both books finish on the same day. So, you know, while you're stumbling through that next thing, you're still reading in this other book, you know, and you can begin to, you know, pick it up like that. But be reading some different ones like that. Really make your time. Your time with God should really consist of a couple of things. One, time in his word. The other is time for you to just pray and just pour out your heart before him. But you want to make sure that you really don't opt for one or the other. You know, you want to do both. You know, you want to pray and you want to be in the word. The word of God is what's really going to shape your heart and your perspective. So you need to be in the word, not just pray. Sure.
As we're maybe reading through two books, is it okay, like as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, is it okay for us to just jump around? Like if I was doing an Old Testament and New Testament, can I just pick the next, do you think?
Sure. You know, the key thing, what I think is the key thing is this. You know, if you have, here'd be a great idea. Just if you take and, you know, just pick up like one of these Bible reading plans. There's like 100 of them online that you can come up with. As you read a book, as you finish the book, you know, check that off so that you kind of know, okay, you know, this may be a little askew. I've read one book in the Old Testament and I've read the entire New Testament. You know, well, yes, that's a little bit of a problem. So what you want to do is, you know, try to figure out how you can balance it out some, you know, and be reading in both places, and because that'll really be helpful. But yeah, you can pick around. The main thing is that you're in the Word of God. And even more main thing than that is that you're meeting with God. You're not just meeting with His Word. So as I go into His Word, like one of the things I'll say, God, like right now, I'm reading in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, and I'm thinking, in fact, one of the things I wrote this morning, I thought, Lord, I have absolutely no idea why in the world these genealogies are so important, but I trust you in this, that they are. And as I began to read through that, you know, I said, would you kind of give me some understanding on this? And so I'm reading through there, and there were several things that stood out to me as I read that, because honestly, it's been a little dry for a couple of days with some of the genealogies. But one of the things that stood out was, it talked about the lineage and how they were tracing things down. And at this one point, it says, through Judah, there was Perez then. Now, Perez was the son of Tamar, who was Judah's daughter-in-law. And so you think, oh my gosh, Jesus' background is a little tainted. Oh, it gets more. Rahab the harlot's in there. You know, you start finding all these words. Rahab the harlot? Yeah, Rahab the harlot. You know, hey, Jesus, what did your great-great-great-great-great-grandmother do? She was a harlot. You know, you begin to see all sorts of people were in the genealogy. But one of the things, boy, you know what? That's why when Hebrews, which I'm also reading in right now, talks about we have a high priest who can relate to us at every point along the way. Boy, that's so true. That's so true. Because some of us go, no, you haven't met my family. He goes, you haven't met mine. You want to meet Rahab? How about Perez? And you're like, really? Yeah. I mean, see, we have a high priest who can relate to us totally. That's why he says, therefore, we can go boldly into his presence. You know what? That's true. That answer your question? Yeah. Any other questions? Yep. Oh, no problem.
Mm-hmm. With things seeming to get faster and faster and faster paced, mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, even like with relationships seeming to get shallower because of Facebook,
right.
Because, you know, there's always a
right.
computer screen in front of our face,
mm-hmm.
That maybe in some ways, again, anybody can jump in and say, no, it's true that in our generation, I just feel like there's an undisciplined generation.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That is very much a case with this generation, and I think that there's a couple of things that are there that you need to realize. One is that when you figure up where you want to go in life, where you figure up where you want to end up, one of the questions you have to ask yourself is the path I'm on leading me there? Because you know what? Most of the time it's not. And what I find is people have this idea that somehow that's just going to change. Now, here's the thing. If you get on I-10 west, you are going to end up in Santa Monica. If you're a good person, you end up in Santa Monica. If you're a bad person, you end up in Santa Monica. If you're a smart person, you end up in Santa Monica. Even if you're a stupid person, you end up in Santa Monica. Why do you think that is? because the 10 goes to Santa Monica. Now, men and women, you need to understand the principle there. The path you're on is not going to be determined by your desire. It's going to be determined by its destination. And so you know what? Where the path you're on, where you end up, is going to be where it goes to. Some of you are on an extremely superficial path in terms of a relationship with God. Out of a group this size, I know there's several. You know what? I know you think maybe I'll be the exception to the rule. Doubtful. You're going to end up where that path goes. So what I would encourage you is examine your heart and say, God, how do I get on the path that really leads me to life and to the things that I want? Because, God, that's what I desire with my heart. And you know what? Would you take the blinders away and would you help me to get some time with whether it's with Billy or with Kate or with one of the other staff, would you help me to get the time so that I can actually get some feedback into my life so I can get on the path and begin to go down that road? Because I guarantee you, too many folks, they're on a path and they just think, well, I know this all looks like it's not headed where I want to go, but I think it will. And I really, really believe it. You know what? So what? If I get on the 10 West and really believe I'm going to Atlanta, no, I'm going to end up in Santa Monica because that's where it goes. It doesn't matter if I think, but I packed for Atlanta. Well, it doesn't matter. I'll end up in Santa Monica. So what I would encourage you, figure out which kind of path. The other thing is, it's kind of like this whole thing. You've got to change step by step. So, you know, it's not like you're going to make one decision and it's going to, boy, I'm glad that now I'm just on the escalator with God, just moving right on. You know, I've stopped walking. I just cruise, God. And no, I mean, I've been looking for that. It's not there, you know. I mean, you have to walk. And the thing that you find is that as you're walking with God and as you're spending time with Him, you've got to make choices. Like, I'll give you for instance with me. This is a stupid one. But it's me. Like I said, you would have to take it by faith. I grew up an athlete. So there are certain times of the year that, like, I really enjoy more than others, called sports seasons. And so, like, growing up, I mean, just my natural habit was I would get up and I would get the paper. And, of course, even if I had seen the game the night before, I would read all about it and reread all the stats. And I knew everyone else still, too, because when we got to school, we would all talk about those things. And you know what? We would devour these sports things. Well, here a number of years ago, God said, now it's interesting. You know, somebody asks you a question about, you know, this team or that team or anything there, and boy, you can just fire that off. I wished you were that smart about my word. And I thought, your word's bigger than the sports page, God. I mean, if you could condense it, you know, I mean, and so as we had that conversation, anytime you disagree, God wins. And so, you know, I was there in the conversation and I thought to myself, yeah, you know what? You're right. Your word needs to have priority. So I'd get up and most mornings, God would win. But then there were certain times when I thought, do you realize? It was game 5. The Lakers were playing. I just need to know. And so I would look at things like that, and God would say, well, you know what? How much do you want to change in this? And I thought, well, enough that I canceled the paper. Because what I found out is, you know what? When you cancel the paper, you really don't need to get up to look at the paper. So now I get up, and I think, well, I'll meet with you. What choice do I have? You know, so I mean, but it was one of those things, you know. Figure out what are the stumbling blocks to keep you from getting on the path you want to get on and clear them out of the way. Sometimes it may be something as simple as, you know, just canceling the paper. I mean, you know, that's Jesus's point, you know, when he talks about us changing from the inside out. You know, at one point Jesus says, if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. And I see guys going, what? Oh, no. I'm going to be blind before tomorrow. You know, I mean, it's like, but you miss it. See? No, you know what? If your eye offends you, you pluck it out. Well, then you still have your other eye, don't you? And so you're looking around there, and you go, oh, bummer, that one, pop that one out, you know. Then you're walking around, you're going, but I still remember what they look like. And so you have all these thoughts running through your mind. And see what Jesus is saying there? He says, guys, if it was something as simple as just plucking your eye out, well, good night, do it. The condition is not an eye problem. The condition is not a hand problem. The condition is a heart problem. Why, if it was something as simple as an eye or a hand, good night, cut it out, pluck it out. It's not. It's a heart problem. And you have to deal with the heart one decision at a time. You begin to allow God to speak to your heart, to change your heart from the inside out, and begin to do things different. Okay? Anyways, we've got time for one more, maybe. If we don't have one, we're all good, so I'm all good with that. Yes?
Do you have any suggestions? This might be a silly question, but when you're doing your quiet time in the morning, like, how do you continue to meditate on it through the rest of the day?
Sure. No, that's a great question. I think the key to meditation is scripture memory. And so, you know, when you memorize God's word and you get it in your heart, what you can do then is you can run it over and over. You know, like Proverbs, I mentioned earlier Proverbs 15:1. And he says there, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so I was thinking about that here about 2 weeks ago, and I was just running that verse through my mind. I was out working on some projects there at the house, and I was running that verse through my mind. And all of a sudden, I started smiling. I thought, that is so true. Even in the words he uses, a soft answer turns away wrath. You know what? If you talk softly, you can probably get the whole answer out. But what happens? A harsh what? Word. Yeah. You ever been in the, you start around, you say something harsh, and all of a sudden the other person jumps in, and oh, it's on now. And boy, you're just fighting and stuff, you know? Yeah. You don't even get a chance to get through the sentence. A harsh word stirs up anger. So he says, you know what? If you will chill out and say things with the right kind of attitude, the right kind of heart, you can do it. But the way I was able to think about that verse, I didn't have a Bible with me. I was out working. And so, you know, but I'd memorized that verse. And so what I would encourage you know, get on a good plan of scripture memory. Figure out some verses in some areas that you really want to work on. Usually, there are areas that God's speaking to you about. If you want to know where areas God's wanting to work on in your life, it's real simple. What areas are you frustrated with or struggling? Because the area which you are struggling in life is the area which God is trying to get you to deal with life according to his word. And so, you know, what you need to do, figure that out, then begin to walk with him. And so then memorize some verses around that. And that's one of the real things I would do. As you're trying to figure out in God's word, like we were talking about here, areas to change, memorize those. Like I memorized Acts 23:5, and I'm memorizing 1 Timothy 2:1-2. And the reason I'm memorizing those is because, you know what? That's something I need to put off, and it's something I need to put on. And so, you know, as God begins to show you areas in your life, you know, like put off this and then put on this. Like in Ephesians 4:28, at one point where he talks about, let those who steal no longer. People go, oh, okay, as a Christian, I can't steal. Right. But what are you to put on? He says, but you need to work hard so that you may make enough so that you're able to share with others. Oh. So in other words, not just thinking about ourselves, but now we're thinking about others. You know, so there's things you put off, there's things you put on all the way through. Does that make sense? Thank you, guys. It was fun.
To find out more, visit www.thetravelingteam.org.